Amen. Amen. Well, it's an honor this morning I get to welcome our speaker. He was my pastor for, he still is my pastor mainly, really, to be fair, but for 44 years. that's because it was my birthday yesterday, and I was turned 44 yesterday. But he's not just my pastor, he's my father. And Dad, I love you. Thank you for everything you've done in my life and continue to do in my life. You still owe me £6.50 for the kebab that I bought you on Wednesday. But as England lost, I will let you off that one. But Dad, I really love you. I'm for you. Thank you for everything you've done. And I'm continuing to do it. And just before I hand over to you, happy birthday, Amy Kelly, who turns 37 today. Not 37, 30 something. Is it 30th? 32, who turns 32 today. Happy birthday, Amy. So Lord God, thank you so much for Dad. Thank you for the blessing he is to us and continues to be for us. As he brings this word this morning, would we be excited? Would we really know that you're speaking through him? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, James. Who saw the football last night? I thought James would have mentioned that. Not very many of us. I didn't either. I was so disappointed after Wednesday. I thought, I can't be bothered about Saturday. But I missed 10 goals, so I'm going to have to see some highlights a little bit later. Thank you, James. Thank you, Emma, for the opportunity to share again here. And I'm following, or I've been asked to speak on, the third aspect of wait, receive, and go. So I've called my talk this morning, Being Witnesses, Making Disciples. And a few weeks ago, Pastor James reminded us of Jesus' instructions to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And James developed the first two emphases over the last few weeks, waiting and receiving. But I'm going to look at that third emphasis today. So if we read from the Bible, we're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. This is from the New Living Translation. On one occasion, while he, Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised you, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So the message from Jesus to his disciples just before he went back to heaven was very clear. Stop. Wait. You need to receive. What Jesus was calling them to do, fulfilling his mission, could not be accomplished in their own strength. And Jesus knew that. They needed to wait. They needed to wait for the Holy Spirit to come to empower and to equip them to be witnesses. You see, they hadn't received him coming at that time. Yes, of course, they were saved. They were his disciples, but there was a gift Father had promised which was still to be received. In the Old Testament, we read of this promise, the promise of the Father, as Jesus describes it in Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Wow. That was the promise still waiting to be fulfilled. So Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem. You need to wait. You see, the Spirit was going to be coming on everyone, young and old, male and female. Before, he just came on specific people at specific times for specific purposes. But now, this was going to be different. This was a promise for everyone. This was New Covenant, and it was a sign of the New Covenant breaking in. And this is what Jesus was referring to, a baptism, an overwhelming, if you like, an outpouring, not of water, but of the Spirit coming. So wait, he commands, until you've received. Jesus was using John the Baptist's language, but he was promising the same, the Spirit coming with power to transform. But the disciples, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. So in verse 8 of Acts 1, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So wait. Receive. Then be or go. To the ends of the earth. That was always God's heart and dream. To take the gospel, to take this gospel of salvation, the good news to all the nations of the earth. We're going to look at go in a moment or two, but notice when he comes, we receive power to be witnesses. Every one of us. That's why he came. Not just for goosebumps in meetings, and I love those times of manifest or felt presence. Some of the songs this morning were referring to that aspect. And they are not to be belittled. When he comes and his presence becomes tangible, we need to honor and reverence him. It's often just a time of waiting and receiving, but also a time of giving back to him our love and our worship. But the main purpose Jesus mentioned is the Spirit comes to enable us to be witnesses. You see, the word witness was a legal term. It describes someone who gives testimony based on their own personal knowledge and experience. And the disciples' message was very clear. They knew, they'd experienced it. Jesus was the Son of God. He was put to death, but God raised him up again. And they were all witnesses to the fact. And through belief in him and who he is and what he's done, you can be saved. In fact, there's no other name by which you can be saved. So after the Spirit comes, Peter boldly proclaims, "Therefore repent, change your mind, change your thinking, turn around, be baptized," follows repentance, "and receive the Holy Spirit." This frightened group of disciples were transformed in a moment after the Spirit came upon them. He came in power as promised. And now with a heavenly boldness, they proclaim the gospel, not just at Pentecost, not just on that particular day, but they couldn't stop preaching and proclaiming about what Jesus had done. They just had to tell everyone. And the scriptures tell us that within a short space of time, Jerusalem was turned upside down by the power of the gospel. You see, there was an overflow. Rivers of life were being released. Miracles and salvation were touching hundreds and thousands. The Holy Spirit had come. They boldly proclaimed who Jesus was and that he was alive. And even when persecution came, they prayed again, "Lord, give us boldness, fill us again so that we can see more signs, more wonders, that your word might be preached boldly." And they continued to witness for him regardless of the circumstances and threats. Wow, what a difference Holy Spirit made when he came. LifeSpring, we too are called to be witnesses for Jesus. His gospel has power to change our lives, just as he did with the disciples. So as we go, actually we go not just with a story to tell, not just even with truth to proclaim, important as both those are, but our changed lives show the power of God. We are being changed from glory to glory. We are all still a work in progress, but when we invited him into our lives, and when the Spirit came, he began a process as we gave our lives back to him, and everything began to change. That's why we need to wait and receive. But then we become his witnesses. At home, at work, in school or college, witnesses everywhere. His life flows through us. Just lost my space now. His life flows through us. Goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the kingdom of God. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You see, when his Spirit comes, everything changes. What was impossible before in our own strength is now made possible because of his strength and power. Paul says in Ephesians, once you were darkness, not very nice, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. So I want to encourage us, LifeSpring, make a difference. Challenge the culture if you have to, but not always even with words. Just come in the opposite spirit. Where there's conflict, bring peace. Where there's sadness and depression, and there's a lot of it around, bring joy and hope. Rather than taking offense, release forgiveness. Rather than joining in the gossip, speak well of one another. Rather than getting drunk, yes, enjoy a drink, but remain sober. You don't take sickies. You work hard for your boss, the Bible says, as unto the Lord. You're not critical and judgmental, but you're gracious and kind. Sure, stand up for what you believe. Stand firm, but with a humility and respect. It's his life shining through us. We are his witnesses. We are his kingdom influences. That's what the Spirit has enabled you and me to become because of his work through us. It's supernatural. It's his fruit. We need to deal with the old so that we can get hold of the new and embrace the new. And that's why we need to repent. And it's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's why we have life class and encounters to help us deal with that old life and begin to live that new life in fullness that Jesus has won for us. And for those who are getting baptized, is it next week or the week after? Deal with the past before you go in the water, because that's what needs to be buried. That old life needs to be left behind, and you rise up and in the waters of baptism with the new life that Jesus has won for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what we testify to. That's what we are witnesses of, the new life that Jesus has won for us. Now I want to go on to the second part. Matthew 28, we know the scripture well. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Have we heard that before? Empowered to be a witness, but also commanded to go and make disciples. In the prayer meeting before the service last Sunday, Rosemary was praying about alignment, that we as a church will be aligned to God's will and purpose for our lives. And you see, what I've just mentioned, that's God's plan. We are his co-workers. We are part of his team. And what is his will and purpose? Scripture is so clear that none should perish, that all come to know him, that the gospel is preached to all nations, that we go and make disciples. And church, that's what we need to align our lives to. As has been said, it's not the great suggestion, it's the great commission. And I believe every one of us needs to align to that purpose, either directly, at the very least, indirectly. You'll have to talk about what I mean there in life groups. But all we do as church, the way we live our lives, it has to be because at the end of the day, we are called to make disciples. And that starts with us going. I just want to look at a few points from those verses we've read. Number one, all authority, notice, has been given to Jesus. That's what he came, when he came to them, all authority in heaven and on earth is mine. Therefore, go. He's the king. He's the one who's conquered, even death itself. And he's now ascended to heaven. And he's been given a name above every name. He has no equal. He has no rival. We often sing that. And from this position of kingship and authority, he commands us to go. Wow. And at the end of the command, he promises, he, the one who has all power and authority, will go with us. He will never leave us. He goes with us to fulfill his mission. Number two, therefore, go and make disciples. Gets a bit challenging. Not just converts or even members and attenders, but disciples. It's important that everybody's added to a church community. And that's why we emphasize the importance of life groups and of our gathering on Sunday. But disciples, they are followers of Jesus. Did you know disciples are the main description of Christians in the New Testament? Christian is mentioned 7 times. Believers are mentioned 60 times. But disciples, 296 times. And note, disciples are formed. They are made. They are not born. When you put your hand up here on a Sunday morning, you don't automatically become a disciple of Jesus. That may be your intention, and we hope that it is, and we want to help you become that person. Jesus, you see, spent time with his 12, meeting with them in the cell group setting, shaping and forming them into great leaders, and it took him 3.5 years. We read he called them to be with him. I keep pressing the wrong bit. We read he called them to be with him, that he might send them out. So he taught them. And he explained to them, and he equipped, and he modeled ministry, and he challenged them, and at times he rebuked them, and he could because he was their leader, and they had a relationship with him. And relationship is really important. Jesus was in a committed relationship with his disciples, so he could bring challenge, and he could bring rebuke. And that's really difficult, sometimes even inappropriate, where there is no relationship. A bridge needs to be built. That's why life groups, again, are so important. A place where we can be discipled, where we can be shaped and formed. So my question for you comes up regularly. Are you in a life group? Are you being discipled? Do you want to be discipled? Number three, go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything. That's what a disciple does and is. One is baptized, not primarily as a testimony, but in obedience to Jesus' commands. Then one who obeys the teaching of Jesus. And that's a big challenge. It is so often contrary to what we're being taught in schools and universities and the culture around us. But disciples, we're not bowing to them. We bow to King Jesus. He's the one who has the power, the authority, and he's our Savior. But notice, and as a result, we teach others too. You see, disciples, true disciples, become disciple makers as well. And some of us haven't realized that. Number four, obedience and faithfulness. Two important components of being a disciple, and I would like to add teachable too. We need to have a heart that is open to receive from the person who's discipling us, open to receive from the scriptures we read, open to receive because we need to change. And that's why we need to know the Word of God, to know how Jesus is calling us to live, to know his purposes, to know who he's called us to be, to know what needs to change so that we really become followers of Jesus. And that's why we need church. And that's why we need pastors and life group leaders to teach us and to help us become more like Jesus. That's what a disciple is, somebody who is being changed into his likeness by following and obeying him. In Timothy, we read of discipleship through the generations. Timothy 2, chapter 1, verse, Timothy 2, chapter 2. You then, my disciple, sorry, then my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable, faithful people who will also be qualified to teach others. You see, the vision is for multiplication. It doesn't stop with me. What I receive, some of us are good at going to receive. You need to do something with that. You need to give. You need to give it out. You can't just keep receiving without giving. The vision is for multiplication. What you've been taught, teach others. In Acts 2, we read, the disciples were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They didn't have to come up with their own revelations. They just simply embraced and lived out what they were being taught. Teaching, discipling, it's a high call. And it needs to be entrusted to reliable or faithful men and women, Paul tells us. You see, you need to qualify to be a teacher at LifeSpring or a life group leader. And one of the main qualifications, faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Lord. Faithfulness to our leaders. Faithfulness to the vision God's given us. And faithfulness to the church. So in our context, looking at Timothy, when James and Emma teach their cell groups, the cell groups get hold of what they've been taught by James and Emma and teach it to their cell groups too. So that's James and Emma bringing it to the 12 who bring it to the 144, if you like. And Paul says, and you teach the same word to others as well. So it's the third generation down. We keep on. We don't keep it to ourselves. That everybody might know. That everybody might be discipled. And the flow of the vision and the teaching flows through the church. So we need to go, and everywhere we go, make disciples. Just a few more thoughts. I've related what I've just said to our structure, but where we have relationship, we can also teach and disciple others, especially in our homes. Parents, I thought James, Emma, brilliant little dedication teaching today. Parents, teach and model the word of God to your children. As James says, it's not just words. They need to see your lifestyle. You are a witness. Disciple them. Have a dream to raise up that generation, your generation, for the Lord. And then help them raise up their children. That's the privilege some of us have now, to become followers of Jesus too. It's through the generations. At work, if you lead a team, model godly leadership. Don't have to follow the way others might lead. You have the Spirit of God living in you. Live. Let your life teach others the way of the Lord. And if you're a member of that team, be a good team player. Honor your leader. Work hard. Be a blessing. Through our actions, we can bring in more of the kingdom of God. In our year of harvesting, we need to be intentional. Be an intentional witness, church, living and proclaiming the gospel, looking for opportunities, then taking them. In our life group, at least once a month, we intentionally stop and we pray for our lost friends. It's in the diary. I have to admit, Jonathan might agree, if it wasn't in the diary, it might not happen. But we want to see people saved. And it's in the diary. And so we stop and we pray for our lost friends. And then we need to challenge each other to take it to the next step. So that there's opportunity for them somewhere, somehow, either over the fence or in the garden or coming to a life group activity or a church event to hear the gospel themselves. And with the mission coming up in September, maybe most of us, we need to be praying, who can we bring? Who can we bring to hear the gospel ourselves? We also set another challenge. At least once a week, we're going to share the gospel or talk about the Lord to a not yeti. You know what a not yeti is? Not yet saved. So we're not talking to Christians, but we're going to talk to a not yeti. And to be honest, that's a real challenge for some of us. And that needs to change. There's a culture which needs to change. We need to become more like the New Testament disciples who couldn't stop telling others about him because he meant so much to them. In the New Testament, we read that every day people were saved and added to the church. Every day. Well, we're starting up just talking once a week. We're going to raise that. It's going to become so that vision gets fulfilled, that every day people are being saved at LifeSpring, in cell groups, in the workplaces, in the different activities and events which are happening here. That's the heart of God. Do you agree with me? Yeah, that's the heart of God. That's what Jesus wants for us. So be intentional. Be intentional. Then become an intentional discipler, especially life group leaders. It's whole life discipleship, like Jesus did. It's about character formation at work, at home, in the church. It includes Bible teaching, yes, but so much more than just Bible study. You need to ask your disciples, are your finances in order? Are you able to give tithes and offerings? Are you able to be generous? No, we've got so much debt. We've got this, that, and the other. Well, let us work out a way to deal with the debt so that you are free to give as you're called to give. What about your marriage? Happy wife, happy life. Husbands, take note. What about your priorities? Are they in the right order? Is God first? Or does he have to fit into our other plans for career and better homes and nicer cars and everything else? We need to put God first and then put ourselves next so we don't burn out. And then our family, wife and family. And then down, we come to ministry. But make sure your family is in order as well. Yeah? Get God's priorities. How are you serving? Who are you serving? Are you serving? It's more blessed to give than receive. And I don't just mean up here on stage. I mean when it comes to cleaning the toilets. I mean when it comes to setting up rooms. I mean when it comes to washing the steps. I mean having a heart to serve. Making a disciple. It's what disciples of Jesus do. Jesus washed their feet. The lowest of low jobs. And you say, go and do likewise. How are you serving? You say you don't have time for devotions. You're too busy. But a discipler will begin to say, but how much time do you spend on social media? How much time do you spend on these other activities? How much time do you spend following your football team? Let's come up with a plan to help you on a daily basis. Start with the Lord. And develop devotions so that there's God in your life on a disciplined and regular basis. You want to be a leader. Brilliant. A disciple will say, for example, two things we need to work on. One, your marriage and home life. Paul says, if that's not in order, how can you lead in the church? So let's work at our marriage and home life. More important than your ministry. And number two, your life group, you hardly come. And you want to be a leader? Let's make that a much higher priority, because that is part of the vision of this church. You need to be faithful in these two areas, my imaginary discipler is saying, and then we can work at leadership. And then we can enable you to become a disciple maker too. You see, we don't want people to follow bad habits, do we? So we need to deal with those bad habits. So like Paul is able to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Don't imitate me with all my problems and struggles and depressions and everything else. I don't want you to be like that. That needs to get dealt with. But imitate me as I follow Christ. And you can be free as well. It's making disciples. It's the commission Jesus gave us. And I understand not everybody in our independent Western culture wants to be discipled. But that's what a distinctive of LifeSpring Church. We are a kingdom people, and we're wanting to develop a kingdom culture. You see, disciples bring transformation. You can have big churches. There are cities in America, particularly with mega churches of tens of thousands. Do you know what the statistics tell you? That nothing's changed. There's as much divorce in some of those churches as there is in the community around them. The crime hasn't changed. The homelessness, the poverty hasn't changed. Something's wrong. And what I think is probably wrong, it's got 10,000 attenders. But if they had 1,000 disciples, they could make an incredible difference for the Lord. The kingdom would be breaking in. So church, we need to receive and keep on receiving so that we can be witnesses for him. And as disciples, we must obey his command to go and make disciples, to go and share the good news, to go and win souls, then form them into disciples and raise leaders to impact this town and beyond. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to stand. I'm going to read a scripture, which I do haphazardly. Lectio 365. I don't know if anybody else are involved in that or know about that. It's a three times a day opportunity just to stop and to pray and to read the Bible, or have the Bible read to you if you listen to it like I do. Can we have the slide on the screen, please? I was just reading that this week, and I thought to myself, wow, I want to read that to the church. Can we have the slide? That's it. This is what I read this week. Having prepared my talk, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. By spring, I want beautiful feet, don't you? I was sitting with Phoebe the other day. She said, move your feet, Pops. I said, why, what's the matter? They're going rotten. What a nasty description. I said, what do you mean, Phoebe? Anyway, I won't go into all of that conversation, but I want beautiful feet. I want beautiful feet. Feet which bring a message of salvation, hope, and transformation. Then I'd like us to pray together this prayer from Lectio again, which we pretty much pray every day. And then I'm going to hand over to James or Emma to pick up. But can we pray this next slide, please, this prayer together? And I love praying this prayer. Father, help me to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, being kind to everyone I meet. Spirit, help me to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all I do and say. Lord, may that be the prayer of LifeSpring Church. In the name of Jesus, that you receive all the glory. Amen. Amen. One last slide, just reflections for life groups. But James, you come up and take a lead.
Wow. Thank you, Dad. That was powerful. You see, we receive, we go. On Wednesday, when I was picking up a kebab for my father, who he still owes me £6.50 for. It's forgiven, it's forgotten. But I was just stood there with Reuben. We'd just gone to get, he wanted to do a little walk, so we went up there. And there was a guy who was stood there at the kebab van who I'd not spoken to probably in 27 years. I hadn't seen him since we'd left school together. And I just bumped into him. I was like, all right, Dan, all right. He's like, all right, James. And in that 2 minutes, I was just able to share about the church and about how Emma and I are now lead pastors of a church and that Jesus loves him. And he goes, you're not going to believe this. He said, I live in Swindon now. So we forgave him for that firstly. But he said, I live in Swindon now, but my auntie actually comes to your church. But what a small world, because it's not just about going out on specific evangelist days or whatever. It's part and parcel of life. It's at the kebab van. It's in the shops. It's we've received, so we go. And conversations can just happen. And I'm hoping that Danny said he'd come and visit us when he's next in Reading. So hoping he'll come here and we can share the good news with him. But the good news is good news. Amen. Jesus is real, you know, and Jesus changed my life. Jesus has changed many people's in this room's life. Jesus did live. Jesus did die. Jesus was resurrected. And when we say to Jesus, I'm sorry for all the bad things I've done in my life, and we choose to repent, we can be forgiven when we truly believe that Jesus lived, died, and was resurrected. And for everything we've done, the little white lies to the continuous stuff we're struggling with can be forgiven when we truly repent of these sins. And the wonderful thing is when we believe this and when we say, Jesus, I want to live for you. I want to give my all to you. Whatever happens in our life, we will know that we will get to spend eternity with Jesus. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we don't know what's even going to happen today. Which is why we always give people the opportunity to receive Jesus for the first time or to recommit their life back to Jesus. What might happen this afternoon? We don't know, but I want you to know where you're going to go if something bad does happen. So I'm going to ask everyone in this room just to close their eyes, hold their hands out in front of them, and we're going to say a prayer together as a family. And we're all going to say this to help the people who perhaps are saying this for the first time, so they don't feel awkward. So I'm going to pray, and I'd love for you guys just to repeat the prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Today I make Jesus the Lord of my life. I believe He died that I'd be forgiven and rose again to give me life. I receive this new life. This is my new beginning. I am a child of God. Amen. Just as everyone